Please remain standing, and in your bulletins, I will be reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Please be seated. Jerry Seinfeld had the following to say about fear. According to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. That means that to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than giving the eulogy. And when Christ was crucified, his disciples scattered. They were filled with fear. But something revolutionary happened after the resurrection and the ascension, and then on the day of Pentecost, these followers who were filled with dread, who were worried about persecution, would become the greatest evangelists in the history of the world. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples the power and the confidence to share Jesus with everyone they met. Humble fishermen became powerful public speakers and evangelists because of God's Spirit. These were not priests that God called. These were not governors that God called. These were not members of a royal family. God called common people to do great things because their God is a great God. And you may be watching the NBA playoffs. The Rockets are still alive in Houston. It's obvious that Dwayne Wade is completely dedicated to the goal of winning basketball games. He's a professional basketball player for the Miami Heat. In the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics, he sacrificed some of his personal glory by assisting Kobe Bryant, who swiftly dunked the ball. Wade had strong awareness of where his teammates were at the moment and thought a few steps ahead to utilize Kobe to reach the team's goals. Bryant also had the intuition and skill set that prepared him to perfectly execute the play. And if you are a point guard in basketball, and Jackson, I know you've started playing and I enjoyed watching you. When you're a point guard, your job is to make other people appear great. You pass the ball, you assist them, and you put them in a position to score. When you're the quarterback, I don't know how many of you are Cowboys fans, but in the 1990s, the Cowboys were led by Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman couldn't do much running. Troy Aikman's job was to snap the ball and hand it to Emmitt Smith, to hand it to Moose, or to throw it to Michael Irvin, Novacek, or the other players. High-flying antics like the Wade-Bryant play represent a strategy widely used by almost every basketball team, from high school to the NBA. An acrobatic dunk of this variety can make a powerful statement against the opposing team if the timing is right and can whip the crowd into a frenzy. No illustration can ever do the Holy Spirit justice. However, the Holy Spirit acts a similar way, often behind the scenes, empowering believers to serve Jesus and glorify the Father. We're all the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible. In other words, the Holy Spirit is helping us read and understand and apply Scripture. The Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. Even when we don't know what to say, The Holy Spirit is there helping us. The Holy Spirit uplifts our worship. The most important part of our worship is not the piano, is not the organ, is not the guitar. The most important part of our preaching is not the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God moving people. The Holy Spirit deepens our fellowship. We are one in the Spirit. Christians draw closer to each other through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit enables our evangelism. If you tell someone about Jesus, it's not just you there. It's the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts and minds. Our text described the beginning of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit as our advocate, counselor, and guide. The Greek word paraclete. Think about if you are in the courtroom and you have an advocate there for you. You have a defense attorney. You have the Holy Spirit is our helper, is there with us in the time of need. The Holy Spirit makes us more holy, makes us serve God more effectively. Pentecost was the second of three great annual festivals of the Jews. So Pentecost is celebrated by both Jews and Christians. Passover was the first of the great feasts, and the Feast of Tabernacles was the other. The greatest number of pilgrims attended the Feast of Pentecost. It was that time of year when travel was the easiest, and you had the first fruits of the harvest. The name Pentecost is derived from the Greek word meaning 50. And it's called that because the feast was kept on the 50th day after the Passover Sabbath. In the Passover, God's death angel passed over the Israelites and convinced the Egyptians that it was time to free them. Jesus is our Passover lamb, and we celebrate the Pentecost as Christians 50 days after Easter. So as Christians, this is a wonderful time of the year when we can look back on Christ's resurrection at Easter, on Christ when He ascended into heaven, and now when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the church. And Jesus said, it's better for me to leave, another helper would come. Imagine that. It's better for the church that Jesus left. Why? When Jesus was fully man and fully God on the earth, He could only be in one spot. The Holy Spirit is in all 2 billion plus Christians around the world. The Holy Spirit is in each and every believer. Because the time between the offering of the first sheaf or first fruits and the formal completion of the harvest at Pentecost was 7 weeks, Pentecost was sometimes called the Feast of Weeks and sometimes the Feast of the Harvest. Luke, the writer of Acts, tells what the Holy Spirit did to glorify Jesus in the church through the early preachers of the gospel. In his book, Luke was speaking of the ministry of Jesus. And now in the book of Acts, Luke is speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 leads up to the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we see the formation of the church at Pentecost, and 3,000 people are saved with Peter's preaching and the speaking of tongues. Today we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit empowered and interacted with the early church at Pentecost. What happened at this Pentecost marked the beginning, the start of what we continue today. It's easier for us to understand God the Father and God the Son than it is to understand the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a mystery. But we can learn more about our awesome God, three in one, by studying and applying Scripture. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is called the Great Commission. But you will receive power. That word dunamis is where we get the English word dynamite. you will receive, that's right, Jackson, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. For us, that would be like saying, you are witnesses in Lampasas. You are the witnesses for the Lord in Texas. You're the witnesses for the Lord in the United States. And you're the witnesses for the Lord throughout the world. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, who will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Some skeptics, some Muslims, some Jews have said that the New Testament does not teach the Trinity because the word Trinity is not used. Well, here in this one passage, Jesus is saying that he's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. God, three in one, is with us today. David Gozick pointed out that Jesus called the disciples to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus had nothing else for the disciples to do other than to wait and pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that they could really do nothing effective without it. Now, what does wait mean? To wait means it's worth waiting for. You know, a lot of times someone will say, I am waiting until I meet my future spouse, because it is worth waiting for that person. To wait means they had a promise it would come. When God says it, it happens. The over 300 fulfilled prophecy about Jesus at his first coming clears that up pretty well. When God says something's going to happen, it does. To wait means they must receive it. They couldn't create it themselves. It's so easy for us to think that the Christian life is about us and what we can do for God. It's about what God does through us, through God's power. When you're serving the Lord, when you're praying, when you are reading Scripture, when you are worshiping, you're doing it through the infinite power of God. And none of you are insignificant. All of you are of eternal value to God. And in fact, God is living in you. To wait means they would be tested by waiting. I don't know about you, but I have a dog that does not like to wait. You know, when she's in the car, she wants to run and be on my lap while I'm driving. When there is food, she wants it yesterday. When there are people outside the door, she gets really agitated, because everyone in the world wants to meet my dog. And I'm not that much different than my dog. If I'm hungry, I don't want to wait. If I need to get something done, I don't want to wait. None of us like to wait in relationships. None of us like to wait with our problems. But isn't it interesting how many times in Scripture we're told to wait upon the Lord? It's not a very American thing to do. You know, we have all these commercials that say, buy it now. You know, the last 80 times we told you about our truck, we weren't telling you the truth. This is the greatest truck ever. And this, you see this truck driving up this mountain? That could be you. Now, if I tried to drive up a mountain with a truck, you know, it's interesting, they have these small print and all these ads, and it says something like, professional drivers do not attempt. And it's like, so you're advertising me and selling me on a product where you need a professional to do the things you're showing me on the screen. You can't actually sell me on your product. And it's interesting, our society is like that. You need this lotion, you need this miracle spray, you need 8-minute abs. Do you know that for you to have a perfect body, for you to be ripped with muscles, you don't need to spend 2 hours at the gym. You don't have to run. all you need are 8 minutes a day to do ab work. You know, it's interesting how much we as a people hate to wait. But God knows that waiting produces character. God knows that waiting gives time for the plan of God. And when we pray, are we praying that God will make everything we want easier? Or are we praying that His will would be done in His time? James Boyce pointed out that the believers in the book of Acts had a lot of disadvantages. The expansion from Jerusalem to Rome is remarkable. They had very little money. They had no proven leaders. They did not have an action plan. They had no technological tools for sharing the gospel. And it faced enormous obstacles. The Jewish leaders were out to get them. The Sanhedrin was out to get them. The Roman authorities were out to get them. Business leaders opposed them. People opposed them. People in the synagogue opposed them. They were stoned. They were killed. They were shipwrecked. They ran into obstacle after obstacle. And you know what they could have said? You know, this Christian thing's not really working for me. I thought becoming a Christian would make my life easier. Why is it I still get sick? Why is it people persecute me? But those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength like the eagles. On Wednesday morning, we're studying how Jesus taught the disciples and how they ministered in His service, how they transformed the world. And everyone is welcome. The believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. The words power and filled in these verses suggest the arrival of the Holy Spirit involves an experience of God's fullness. In a sense, the disciples were already witnesses, for they had seen the risen Lord. The book of Acts has been accurately called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Acts with a fresh set of eyes and see how often the Holy Spirit is leading them, is directing them, is empowering them. And of course, Jesus is still with His church, and of course, the Heavenly Father was also with them. Paul makes fullness of the Spirit mandatory for Christians with the imperative, be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. The result of that fullness is true, heartfelt worship, according to Acts chapter 5. How are we filled with the Spirit? When we place God first in our priorities list. When instead of chasing after the things of the world, we chase after the things of God. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, held up a glass and asked, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" One man shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." That's probably what Tim the Toolman Taylor would have said. Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we focusing on the Lord? Are we living for the Lord? The Holy Spirit lives in us. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. As Luke described it, there was suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Luke's comment is that it came from heaven indicates that it was supernatural. It wasn't natural. If you remember, we recently had a storm where one of the trees in the park, the storm picked up the entire tree and deposited it here in Lampasas. Wind is powerful, but what we're seeing here is something far more powerful than the wind. It's like a mighty rushing wind, but it's supernatural in origin. And the sound of wind, there was also an appearance of what seemed to be tongues of fire. I don't know about you, but I get excited by fire. And it's interesting that over and over in Scripture, fire is associated with the holiness and the presence of God. God's Spirit is signified now under the symbol of fire with the implication that God has come to purify His people. When you take a mineral and you put fire under it, it purifies it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Spirit comes to make us holy, to make us consecrated, to make us obedient. When the Lord gave the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses, the Lord arrived with fire. Exodus 19:18. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like a smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Imagine a whole mountain trembling violently. I wouldn't even like for the hills and Lampasas to tremble violently. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Reverence. Having respect for God's authority. When we say the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be His name, honored be His name. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and who evermore will be. God defies explanation, God defies definition, and nothing I say can ever do God justice. The story is told about a little boy who was flying a kite. Jackson, do you like kites? Not so much. I like kites. You know, kites are fun. It was a windy day, and the kite kept going higher and higher. Finally, it got so high that it was out of sight. A man passed by and saw the little boy holding onto the string. The man could not see the kite, and he asked the boy, "How do you even know you have a kite up there?" The boy replied, "Because I can feel it." We can feel and experience the Lord, and we each have a testimony to what God has done in our lives, and no one can take that away. Although we cannot see the Holy Spirit, we should be able to sense His work in our lives, changing us into the image of Christ. We cannot see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind. We cannot see the Spirit, but we can feel the effects of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides us with gifts for the common good. We are to serve others. We're adopted members of one huge family. Of all the believers throughout history, we'll be there with Elijah. We'll be there with Ruth. We'll be there with Esther. We'll be there with believers from the 4th century, the 8th century. We'll be there with believers from B.C., from before Christ came as a man. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We cannot accomplish the work of the Lord on our own. Throughout Scripture, we read that we need the Lord and we need each other. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God's love has been poured into us so that we could be a fountain of love to others. The Lord's the sun, we're the moon, reflecting the Lord. We are His instruments. We are His tools. Abba Father does not just like us or put up with us. He intensely loves us. You know, when you're at a family reunion and there's the people you genuinely like and you kind of sit by them, and then there's the people at the family reunion that you kind of keep your distance from sometimes. You kind of put up with them. They're in your family, but you just put up with them. God does not see you that way. God sees you at His banqueting table. His banner over you is love. He's the bridegroom, and the church is His bride. The Lord is our shepherd. We're called to have a close relationship with God and loving fellowship with people. God is one. God is in three distinct personalities, working and living in perfect unity. And that's what the Lord wants for us to be in fellowship with each other and with the Lord. We are adopted into His family, are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You're not just Texans. You're not just Americans. You are citizens of heaven. There's a story about a vacuum salesman in rural Tennessee, in the country. He had his vacuum cleaner and all of his tools. That's a job I would not want to have. What a dirty job. The salesman went out there and he told the lady, "I've got the most exciting vacuum cleaner you've ever seen. It will clean your house from top to bottom. You only have to pay so much down." You know those infomercials? You know, 18 easy payments of $19.99. I don't know for you, but I've never met an easy payment. He said, "You see that big pile of dirt right there on the floor with all those fur balls and bugs and things like that?" He said, "My vacuum cleaner will just pick up all those things just like that. And if they don't, I'll eat it." She said, "Well, you might as well get out your knife and fork, because we don't have electricity out here. You will be sucking up dirt for the rest of your life if you do not have the power. And the power does not come from us. The power does not come from betterment or self-improvement. The power only comes from Christ. We'll exhaust ourselves trying to live a godly life if we do it in our own power." Are we praying on a regular basis? Do we praise God throughout the week or only on Sunday? Do we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance? Do we honor the Sabbath? Do we trust in God to change us, or do we try to do everything on our own? Do we say to God, "Lord, bless me, but let me take care of all this other stuff. You know, Lord, it's okay for you to be in the living room of my house, but don't touch the bedroom and don't go back there in those closets. They haven't been cleaned in years, Lord. And small animals could get swallowed up by that closet." No. The Lord wants to be in the whole house. The Lord wants the whole enchilada. The Lord wants us. The Spirit's role in revealing the truth of Jesus is like the lights on the billboards along our interstate highway system. The function of the lights is to make the message of the billboard visible. The function of the Holy Spirit is to make God's love and God's truth evident throughout the world and in us. The Holy Spirit's mission is to glorify Jesus, and Jesus' mission is to glorify the Father. And our mission is to glorify and love and to experience the joy of Christ. When we're no longer worried about results, when we're no longer worried about our own efforts, when we're no longer worried about how many hair follicles are on our head or how many are not, or what type of fashion we're wearing, or the Lord takes control. And His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Do you desire to speak for Jesus? You can only do it in the Holy Spirit's power. Do you desire to bring glory to Jesus? You can only do it with a humble spirit. Do you desire to pray? Sadly, what dull work it is unless the Spirit makes intercession for you. Do you desire to subdue sin? Would you be holy? Would you imitate your Master? Do you desire to rise to superlative heights of spirituality? Are you looking to be made like the angels of God, full of zeal and love for the Master? You cannot do without the Spirit. It's like running the vacuum cleaner without the electricity. This week, may we all take time in Bible study, prayer, and worship to focus on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit means in our lives. Please join me for the benediction. As you enter a new week, may you experience God's presence. May you feel the Holy Spirit dwell over your hearts, feelings, emotions, and your compassion for all others. and over your hands and your feet as you put into action all that God commands of you. During this week, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.